or serve an abundant God. Now, I don't know about you, but this God is one I've got to see. This is the one that made all things. You just look anywhere you look. Go anywhere you go. And you look up. And we are going to be one with the one who made that. And this is a disposable universe. This is for a little while. Just for a little while, I'm going to bring many souls, many sons to glory. And then I'm going to destroy all this. Because he had to curse it. Because of us. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody broke into my house and destroyed all my stuff, I would be upset. That's because we don't think properly sometimes. God, on the other hand, He knows. Brother Tim said it very clearly, from the end to the beginning. He knows. And He's more interested in us being there than we are. He really is, because He knows what we're going to do. He knows exactly where He's going to fit us in. And sometimes our trials and our tribulations get so high and we think, oh, what am I going to do? God's making you. He's fitting you for a special spot in eternity. And that's an entrance that's going to be abundant. Now, I tried to find a spot in the Scriptures where there wasn't an abundant entrance. It's a glory. I've yet to find it. Every entrance in the glory is abundant. See, it's only if you don't enter. Now that's... For so an entrance... Now this is really good. Because see, here you've been the tail. You've been used to being the tail. And he said, soon you're going to be the head. Now that's... We believe it. We want it. But we don't have it. So he says, he gives you this little taste. He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, you're going to be the head. And that's the way it's going to be. Now, you're being pruned, a little here, a little there. You're being readied to fit into a ministry there. It's going to be ministered unto you abundantly. And then it's hard to get away from this next part. In the everlasting kingdom. See, here we live in a place where purposes are cut off. I don't care how good your purpose is. I don't care how much you desire to serve the Lord. How much you want to give 100%. Your purpose is going to be cut short here. It's never going to reach the grandeur that you saw. And this is, hold on to that thought for a minute, because what you saw is a token that you're in God's image. You can see things perfectly. You can see how God's working and how His truth is working together and how you want to fit into that. It's just that now you have this body of death. Now you're falling short. But not then. Not after the abundant entrance. You know, the world, you know, they tried, I mean, way back in Babylonian times, to come up with this grandeur. You know, and they'd have a king, and he would sit there, and everyone would come in, they'd bow their heads, and they would grovel, and they would, you know. But he was the king. All he had to do was just point the finger, and your head was gone. And see, we've lost that in America. We don't have any respect for anybody. But the thing is that this everlasting kingdom is never going to change. Never and forever and ever and ever, and as many times you want to say it, it's never going to change. Amen. Well, see, isn't that something you can get used to? That when you get there is something you're not going to have a problem getting used to. This is, you know, I don't remember the brother's name, and I should, but he talked about that. Looking at the earth from heaven. And how, was that Richard Baxter? Anyway, it was one of the brothers that have gone on. But what a view that if we could keep that view with us all the time, that's faith. Yeah. Now, see, that view of being able to see, well, do I really want this, or will I trade this for that? those things fall to the ground. When the elements are melting on fire, no one's going to be wanting the melted elements over eternity with God. But see, now it's packaged different. Now it looks different. Now it's more tastier to the flesh. So he says, buffet the flesh. Don't let what you have from God be taken away from you. It's going to be taken away from some people. That which they have is going to be taken away. They're not going to have it anymore. Now, on that day... I don't want to get too far. Let's go back. Because Peter's the one that said that. It's right there. 2 Peter 1:11. And I don't normally do that, and I apologize for that. I got in a bad habit. And for all the children here, it's a bad habit not to say where you're at in the Scripture. Because people don't know. A lot of people I talk to don't even know when I tell them. Anyway, we're going to start at 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. And I love Brother Peter. I'm so much like Brother Peter, and I've learned so much from him. I just want to jump in there and do it. Get out on the water. I want to walk on the water too. But see, it's not everyone falls. It's in the middle. You got to look up. You know, at least we didn't read about Peter dying in the water. You know, sometimes I think I've been dead for 2 days in the water. Look up. Your redemption is right there. And Peter's writing us a letter, and he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Amen. Now, everybody else, this is not for you. It's just only for the ones that have obtained like precious faith, because no one else is going to understand it. What Peter's getting ready to say, he's getting ready to tell you something that the prerequisite for is you have to have faith. Amen. If you don't have faith, how can you add to it? Amen. So Peter's getting ready to bring the saints up higher. So come on now, we're gonna get up higher where these things don't matter, and where those things are preeminent, and where God can actually work in us. Amen. He can't work in us down here, so the Holy Spirit comes, the Scripture's been given, and we can come up higher. Everyone that makes it there, that participates in this abundant entrance, is going to be a testimony that God is true. It's going to be a testimony that the Holy Spirit did a personal, private work in you. Amen. No one's going to be there that hasn't tasted of the heavenly gift. No one. So these things are a prerequisite. So you have faith. He said another reason. We know we all have faith. But let's get a little higher here. He's going to tell you a few things. It obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, which is, it's legal. This is legal. What we're doing is legal. Amen. What we're doing, God enjoys to enter into this work with us. Amen. So you can do this with all confidence because this is ordained by God. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, I don't want to step on anybody else's sermon, but isn't that good? Grace and peace... just trinkle down a little ladder rain. No, it's multiplied to you. If you need grace, it's there every morning. His mercies are new.
Amen.
Brother Danny's going to tell us a lot about that. Grace and peace be multiplied in you. How? Well, because God's going to zap you with the Spirit. No, it's through the knowledge of Him. Amen. That's where it comes. You read the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit comes and He brings you the understanding. You know, he's on the initiative. The Holy Spirit, if you really want to do work with God, you really want to work with the Father, give somebody the Scripture. Tell them what Jesus said. Tell them what God has written in His Word. Because the Holy Spirit will be right behind you. Coming right behind you. Why, you work here. He seeded the ground. I can make this grow. The Holy Spirit doesn't get disappointed. Doesn't get discouraged. The Holy Spirit's on the initiative to show, to reveal God to man. And He's got to have the Word to do that. It's just not a necessary. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
He hasn't given us some things, although, you know, it's not just the Word. It's not just the Spirit. It's not just the Father. It's all these things together. It's not just knowing. I know John 3:16. Well, do you know the way that it connects with all the rest of the Scriptures? Do you see the implications of what He's doing? I mean, if you don't know that, then He was really wrong to run through the field and pick corn on the Sabbath. But He was the Lord of the Sabbath. So these things, this is this understanding. You know, Brother Fred told me one time, I love to listen to you. I'm like, why would you want to listen to me? I don't have anything to say. He said, it's a Scripture. When you say it, it becomes live and it's real. And it's not the person. It's the Scripture. This is a holy Scripture. According as His divine power has given unto us, hasn't withheld it from us, all things, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to make peace. See, I mean, that is how I get sometimes. I get to the work. Well, He's called me to work. No, He's called me to grace and peace. That's what He's called me to. Now, as a result of that, if I want to help others or if I want to throw myself into the work, don't lose the grace and peace.
Yes.
Don't let that, if anything's going to be let slack, let the work. But see, the thing is that if you're fellowshipping in His grace and peace, no one has to tell you to work.
Amen.
This is something, if somebody's got to tell you to do it, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Amen.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. Why? Why did He have to do that? Because we're motivated by promises.
Yeah.
I promise you, if you'll come over to my house tonight, I'll give you the best meal you ever have ever eaten. And it's spare ribs. And now you love spare ribs. Are you coming to my house tonight? Well, now if I said I was having potato salad and you didn't like that, maybe you wouldn't. And I know that's Bob speaking. But the thing is that we're motivated by what we're going to benefit from.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit, if you allow Him to, He will make the heavenly things more attractive than the earthly things.
Amen.
Why? How does He do that? These are exceeding great and precious promises. He's given them unto us. He said to Brother Gibbon, I'm going to give you a new name. And no one's going to know that name except you. Well, you think Brother Gibbon's going to hide it? No, he's going to be telling us. I can see Brother Gibbon going, giving us this, but it means this and that. But He's promised you, every single person that has believed, they have because God's given them a promise. He's loved you with an everlasting love.
Yes.
To Him that overcometh. Read Revelations 1 through 3. You can't get by the promises. There's promises.
Amen.
And those promises, of course, are going to be, God's going to keep His promise. Brother Tim's amply demonstrated that. That by these, by what these? By believing these promises. I mean, what good's a promise if you don't believe it? You know, and I've heard all my life about the bank account and I'm listening to that. But the thing is that if you really believe that God's going to give you a new name, if you really believe that He's going to give you a body like I'm His glorious body, well then, what do I need it for? Just for a little while? You know, so when it starts failing, then don't be shocked. It's a temporal body. You know, He gives more grace. And we need it. You know, I mean, this isn't something that that He's just trying to fill in the cracks as they start cracking. You know, we need exactly what He's given us.
Amen.
So He's given us these exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might, and then we're going to come up real high, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, does He say in the future? Like maybe someday, if you believe this long enough, maybe you'll evolve. No. He says, I'm giving you these promises, and if you'll just believe them, you'll be a partaking of the divine nature. Now that's way up here. Way up. See what I mean? You couldn't believe that if you didn't have faith. You wouldn't even know what he's talking about. Divine nature, is that like human nature? Well, obviously not. Don't really know where that word came from. But the divine nature is one that's like God. It's His nature. It's how He just is. God, we tell Abraham, I am that I am. And when you're in Him, then see, all these questions, all these things that cloud your mind, all these issues, they fall to the ground. And you can fall to your knees and you can give thanks to the one that made this possible. Because this didn't come. The price that was attached to these exceeding great and precious promises is far more than we can fully comprehend. Far more. His Son, the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And it was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And at the precise moment in history, He was nailed up to a cross, and He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So the thing is that this divine nature, these promises, this isn't just a spontaneous thing. It cost Him His life as He hung there. And as He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He wanted us to know the price. He wanted us to know it was because of Me that He hung there. It wasn't because of anything He did. And so He comes along in such a great salvation that He's wrought. His own right arm brought salvation. He didn't depend on any man. And so is that great of a salvation? Is it worthy of first place or second place or only on Wednesday nights? Or we'll cancel Sunday night because salvation isn't really that great. See, they don't say that. But that's exactly the way God sees it.
Amen.
God's standing there and it cost His Son His life. And now the churches want to cancel services. Well, it's not convenient. It wasn't convenient for Him to hang there on the cross. It wasn't convenient for Him to say, when He asked His Father, you know, He had to go into a land not inhabited.
Yes, right.
You know, the picture was in the Old Covenant, they would take the goat and the lamb and they would lay their hands on them. And the one, all the sins were confessed on this one. They confessed the sins of the people and then they let it out of the camp. And you ever think about what happened to that goat? Well, ours came back to life.
Amen.
He came back from the dead. And let me tell you, He's the same today as He was that day. He ascended into the heavens and He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And He's right now doing the same intercession that He started 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Same thing. He hasn't changed one bit. His mind hasn't changed. He hasn't decided, well, you know, humanism might be okay. He hasn't changed. Now we have. Now that's just a reality. We have changed. I'm talking about at large. The Holy Spirit wants to bring us back in line.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And He's doing it through these exceeding great and precious promises. He said, you believe this? Just like Abraham. You know, to Paul, I think it seemed kind of simplistic. Why don't you get it? I mean, the same thing that Abraham, you know, we know about that story. We know that Abraham believed and God accredited to him as righteousness. So what's so hard about see, you have to be in the Spirit. These things are not understandable to the flesh. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, that was our defense. That is, God put that there to defend us. He's put that there to keep us safe from these men out there that would misuse this. Let me tell you, if Satan understood what you do, Things would be different. His attacks would be a lot more violent. His attacks would be a lot more to the point. Now he just generally just tries to assault you. But he doesn't understand as much as you know. You know more than Satan. You know he's going to be cast to the sides of the pit. You know that. Sometimes you can goad him with that. And besides this, now he's going to encapsulate these things, you know, add to your faith, virtue, and virtue knowledge. He's going to do that. And he says, "For if these things be in you," now this is amazing, because see, this is such a slap in the face to an honest person. If they read through this and they say, "If these things are in you and abound," you'll never fall. Now, I had somebody say, "That's just, I'm a lie. It's just a lie. You're going to fall." And I struggled with it for a few minutes, and then I just figured, you know, I can't make it. We talked about the Word. I'm going to have to leave now so the Holy Spirit can do His work. Because you can't make somebody believe. You can't make somebody understand something they don't want to understand. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And by the way, you're the only one that can do that. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. Sometimes you wish you could. I mean, you really wish you could just believe for someone. But if that was possible, God would have believed for all of us.
Amen.
I mean, God's not willing that any should perish. He says, "Well, for the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Now, how many people here today want to fall? See, I mean, this is, if you're serious and you're honest, you ask these questions. If I've fallen, then these things weren't in me. These things weren't abounding.
Yes, right.
You know, and so what's the remedy? Well, do these things. It sounds simple. Believe. Because if I'm in a state of unbelief, what's the remedy? Believe.
Amen.
And so then he talks about the entrance. For so an abundant entrance. It's going to be ministered unto you. See, he's just like built up. He started on the foundation. He's built up. You add to these things. And if they're in you and they're abounding, you're never going to fall. See, these are the real things. These are the things that the church needs to hear. He says, "Then shall the king say unto those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father. Enter, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."
Amen.
Now this kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world, you know, there is no other place that's been prepared for you. That is the only place God has prepared for man, is His glory with Him. So if you don't go there, then you go to the default place, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, we don't want to go someplace that hasn't been prepared for us. "Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, anybody you meet." That's anybody that you meet on the street, you meet anywhere. God wants them there. He wants them there. Sometimes I think maybe that's why you're meeting them. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved," and you want to get a look from someone, you tell them this. "I know that if this body dies, I'm looking forward to it." You know, Paul said it's far better. Far better for me. But for you, I mean, stick around for a while. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God." You think about that? You're going to move. into a new building. And this one's been built by God.
Amen.
This one's a permanent dwelling. This one won't have any, you know, all the faucets will work and all the doors will close, right? And you think that's silly, but that Pentecostal church is preaching that. We're going to move into a house. Anyway. But I'm not looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to my new body. My body that's like unto His glorious body. My body that will never want to sin. My body that will never want to defy God. A body that always says... In fact, wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning and your body prompts you to praise? See, we don't even know anything like that. Eternal. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. We want it so bad that it's physical with us. But now, if it isn't physical, then there's a problem. If you're not groaning, then maybe you're moaning. Maybe the complaint has become stronger than the restraint. The thing is that all you need to do is the... What did he say? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So what do we need to do? Lift him up.
Yeah.
Lift him up. And if you're dragging down, look at him. He's there. He's right there. Sometimes I wish I could be like that, the servant that was with Elijah. Elisha?
He
says, open his eyes.
Yeah.
Now, he saw it before. The servant didn't see it, but Elisha saw it. He was like, there's more with us than me with them. And believe me, if you could see it right now, there's more that's with us. Okay, we're encompassed about with a large party. Like, if you could just see it. So, see, but now, it's really to our benefit that we can't. Because, you know, I look in the Scripture, every place that it happened, people would fall down and worship Him. And, no, it's by faith. Why? So the inheritance would be sure to all the seed.
Amen.
See, God's done all things well. Amen. And this entrance that we're getting ready to enter into, God wanted it to be sure to everyone.
Yeah.
Every last seed of Adam would be able to stand before His throne and be perfect and righteous in the Beloved. That's God's desire. He's not willing that any should perish. We're desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Now, if you desire that, if you desire to be clothed out with your new body, you're ready for the abundant entrance.
Amen.
See, this is something that doesn't happen all by itself. This is something that the Holy Spirit has done a work in your life to where you don't even care if you die.
Amen.
I want to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Because I know if I'm absent from my body, I'm present with the Lord. Whatever that means, it sounds good to me.
Amen.
You know, I mean, a theological people can fight back and forth about it, but present with the Lord is good.
Amen.
To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Now, that's abundant. That's abundant. With me in my throne. This is the one. This is the throne. And he said, I'm going to let you sit with me. But you have to overcome. That's what he said. To him that overcometh. He didn't make any of these promises to him that doesn't overcome. There's other promises there, but we won't go into those. To him that overcometh, will I grant. Can anyone stay his hand?
Amen.
Are you overcoming? Then there's nothing that can stand between you and God. Nothing. Because God's going to grant it. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. I often think sometimes, you know, Satan's read the Bible. I'm sure he has. You know, he didn't like that. I mean, he tried for 33 years. He tried to get him to do something, anything, to try to get him out of favor with his Father. It didn't work. And it won't work with you either. It won't work. Satan can try. It will not work as long as you're overcoming. Here's the thing. If you walk, he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
So how do we do that? Well, he said, you look another place.
Yeah.
You set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the remedy. I can sit down now. That, you know, if you're looking forward to the abundant entrance, if you're looking forward to the day when the sky split open and the angels come down, he put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and he blows his trumpet. You looking forward to that?
Amen.
Well, there's been a work of the Holy Spirit then. Because believe me, you weren't looking forward to that once in your life. There was a day when that frightened you more than anything. I don't want to do that. But now, I can't wait to think about that blast. That's going to be quite a blast. But it's going to issue in a new rain. It's going to issue in a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Where your body is going to fit perfectly in. Your spirit's already been regenerated and placed in this temporary tabernacle. And your spirit's going to rejoice. All the spirits together are going to rejoice. Remember when God created the heavens and the earth? And all the saints of the Lord clap for joy. This is going to be something. I mean, yeah, I know the cursed are going to be consumed and they're going to be thrown into the pit. But see, we're going to be on a sea of glass. See, we're going to be totally at peace. And it says, don't you know, the saints are going to judge the world? Oh, we're not going to be all fearful and shaken. I was looking up and it said superabundant. I like that. Superabundant. We're going to have a superabundant entrance. Of course, you know that's. Or actually, a superior one.
Uh-huh.
See, this is really. I had a hard time because I wanted the superior one. Now, if you give all diligence to make your calling and election sure, if you are overcoming by the Holy Spirit, by the way. If you're pressing on to know Him, then see, of course, some people don't believe this. What I'm about to say, they don't believe it. They don't believe that you could have any better entrance than anybody else. But let me tell you, Abraham, that's the rich man saw Abraham. When he looked up there, he saw Father Abraham. And God's not unfaithful to forget your labor. He's not. So I'm not going to get into the labor, fruits, works, all this. But the thing is that He's not going to forget.
Amen.
And He's going to compensate you according to that which you've done. So work.
Amen.
I mean, what? How much time you got? Well, I might live to be 70, so I better get to work. Because that's just like a moment. I mean, if the whole world is like a vapor, well, then how much is my little puny life? It's just a little bitty line of that vapor. So, I mean, time is not really relative. It's only that God's given you this. What are you going to do with it? God's responded towards you. How are you going to respond towards God? He's promised you an abundant entrance if you'll just do these things. If you'll just walk in the Spirit. If you'll just believe the gospel. So what are we going to do with it? I mean, that's, you know, Brother Tim, I like listening to Brother Tim preach, and I miss his preaching. Because he always makes it plain. He doesn't garbage it all up with the he knows it. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now we're participating in the time before eternity. You know, now we just have the first fruits. Now we just have a taste of eternity. But then, see, that's why we have it now, is to get us to them.
Amen.
So let's use it wisely. Like I said, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and of Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Now that's what they're going to see. You see, when Jesus made it, Satan knew he was destroyed. When Jesus actually made it, he come here, and the sins of all the world were laid on him. Now, maybe he didn't understand the implications of that, but there's no more sin. I know that takes faith, but there's no more sin. God laid it all on him.
Amen.
So Paul makes a point of this. He said, how can you live in sin when he's taken it all away? It's all gone. So what do? The next time you want to sin, you go to him. You go to him. He took the sin away. He bore the personal responsibility for it. Now, if you want to sin, then go to him. Because see, he can't have a fellowship with sin. He put it away. So how can we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? How can we? See, so he wants to reason with you. Come, let's reason together. You know, and believe me, when you get in his presence, that isn't what you're going to talk about anymore.
Amen.
You know, the thing that distracted you so much, if you just go to him and get in his presence, it's now we're going to talk about the real important things.
Amen.
It shall blossom abundantly. You know, if you like that? It's like how, like your faith. Remember when you first believed? And now God's allowing it to blossom abundantly. You know more now. Now we all have knowledge. We know that knowledge puffeth up, makes you proud, makes you think, well, I know more than that person. But charity edifieth. Love. This love is what God did for us. When we were unlovable, he came and he loved us. So now he says, strengthen the weakened hands. I mean, I need mine strengthened. That's what we come together for. To strengthen the weakened hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a faint heart, be strong! Fear not! And behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a vengeance. He will come and save you. That's what I'm talking about today. Abundant entrance. God's coming. He's going to be here. It says that it's going to vanish from his presence. He's going to come in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels and his glory. And it's just going to vanish away. We're just going to be, you know, on that day, when everything else is stripped away, what do you got left? You know, we need to think about these things now. You don't want to be thinking about them then. And what am I going to do now? All I have is my car. Oh, boy. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like as a hart. When he sees, when the Holy Spirit... I can remember when he first showed me something in the Scriptures. I was reading through there and it made sense. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why all of a sudden it made sense. So I had to look in there more to find out why. Why is this all of a sudden I can understand the Bible? Well, it's because I was reading it with God. I was reading it with the Holy Spirit. And see, now, he says, come, let us reason together. So let's reason with each other. Let's reason with those. It says, and a highway shall be there. This is, well, we're up on the highway of holiness. It says, and it shall be called the highway of holiness, or the way of holiness, which the unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Yeah, you ever felt like you're a wayfaring man? Traveler, you know, in a strange country. You don't speak the language, thank God. even though they can't pronounce half of your words. But the thing is that I used to be one of those down there that didn't understand, that didn't know. And I was raised in a godly church. Now, I should have known. See, this is I was without excuse. But the thing is that you can't impart this to another person. All you can do is give them the word. Give it to them. I was given a lot of word. So when the Holy Spirit started opening my eyes, I was like, so this is that. Oh, I understand now. Oh, my. No fool shall not err therein. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant. See, all these abundance here, yeah, I'm really fighting not to use them. It's hard. Exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now, think about that. The Holy Spirit prays for me. He prays for you too. Because you don't know what you should pray for. That's what it says. It says, so the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Now you got God on your side. You got the Holy Spirit that knows the will of the Father praying, you know, for you on your behalf. And you have this desire to do His will. Now you don't have everything yet. You got this body. But that, don't let that stand in the way. Just go right to the Father. Because everything's for you. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why? Because there's a day coming when it's all going to end. It's going to be over. And God knew it a long time ago. He actually ordained the day. Now, what's He going to do? And I've sat and I thought, how would you do it? How would you do it? You got a whole race of people that are made in your image. Now, soon they're going to have a body like unto His glorious body. They're going to have an eternal body. What torment that would be to have this unregenerated spirit, have this spirit that lusted after the flesh, that lusted for ungodly things, that wanted the world. You have a spirit like that, and you put it into an eternal body, one that loves righteousness, one that would never do anything evil. Now that would be hell. You would be in total torment. The worm would never die. It'd be gnashing of teeth. You would. The thing is that our God's merciful. And He saw that. He knew what was going to happen. And He actually, He's done all things well. He made a way. His own right arm made a way that we could have our spirit regenerated and fellowshipping with Him now. Now we're partaking of the divine nature so that then we'll move right into our house.
Amen.
And we'll just start functioning. You know, I was thinking about Brother Peter. You know, what's Peter doing? He's over there creating worlds. You can know, style those. And see, you won't have to do that then. Whatever Peter just starts doing, it'll just be perfect. You think about that. Think about your own self and the things that you've got yourself into. Because you didn't think about it down the road, what impact it was going to have. See, it won't happen there. There, you'll see clearly and you'll just flow right into the purpose of God. It's going to be an amazing place. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. So this you know, when God made promise to Abraham, because He could swear by no other, He swore by Himself. The thing is that soon, the one that's illuminated us all along, you know, He's given us, He says, here, there, and here a little, and there a little, and We don't have the complete picture yet. It's fragmented somewhat. We want to see it, but you know, Jesus Himself said there's some things that I would like to tell you now, but you can't bear. Not yet, but soon He's going to finish that paragraph. He's going to let us in on these things. But soon, this light that we've been walking in, we're going to be one with. He said, even, you know, there in John 17, and you could dissect that for the rest of your life and never get it all. This prayer that He prayed, you know, the glory that I had, the glory that Thou hast given me, I have given them, that they might be one. the same way that Jesus is one. So whatever that is, whatever that encompasses throughout all eternity, that's where He's placed us. We're in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then we're going to be one with the Father. That's why He said, surely blessing I will bless thee. Surely bless the Father's. He's leaning forward. He wants us to be one with Him. Soon we're going to obtain the promise. Now it's just a promise. You know, now you're tasting of a little along the way. But soon the promise is going to be received. It's not going to be a promise anymore. It's going to be the blessing. We're going to have it.
Amen.
In our hand. And then the old saying, the bush is going to be burned up. So won't. No. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now see, now we've cast it in. We're attached. We have some benefits coming our way. But then we're going to have the whole ocean. I mean, then we're going to have all of that. Well, I'm looking forward to that day. To that day when hope's not hope anymore. It's realized.
Amen.
You know, I said a statement one time that we won't have any more faith. Well, the thing is that we're never going to stop trusting in God.
Amen.
Never. Never going to stop trusting in the One that made us. And as eternity rolls its ceaseless cycles on, as that happens, He's always going to be unfolding more of who He is.
Yes.
And we're always going to be getting larger and larger.
Yes.
Be able to comprehend with all the saints, with the height and the depth of His love. And I just hope that blessed you.